Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is great to be with you here as we look this week at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent. The theme, God is with us. We're going to be hearing about Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus, the arrival of Jesus is imminent. This is the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. Congrats, you made it this far, you know, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about that too. By this point in time, you may be getting frustrated. Maybe your Advent hasn't been what you expected it to be. Well, I'll just tell you, don't panic. We've still got another week to go. I was going to say, give it some time. We don't have that much time, but you don't need much time, really. What really matters is that you put the effort in from this point on. Right? No matter what you did, no matter what you didn't do, we still have a few days left until Jesus arrives, and he can absolutely work with whatever we give him. So we're going to talk about that. We will read the readings today, and I'm really glad that you decided to stop by. I know it's a busy time of year, and I'm grateful to have you with me this week on the program. So settle in, relax, grab a beverage, a snack, whatever you need to do as we discuss the Mass readings for the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. And let's begin, as we always do on the show, let's begin with the prayer. Let's remember that even though we can't see him, our Heavenly Father is present with us. He sees us. He can hear our words. He is watching over us. He's bigger than any problem we can ever face. And he wants us to draw closer to him through a relationship with his Son, Jesus. So any effort we make will certainly be rewarded. So why don't we pray now? Let's turn to our Father in heaven, and we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for letting us be in your presence. Father, we know that these words that we are about to speak to you, these words do mean something. They will have some effect. We'll leave the effect up to you. We know that prayer is always fruitful. We don't always know the fruits of our prayer. We can't always see the fruits of our prayer. But we know that when we pray, something happens. So we turn to you first, Father, in thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. We're thankful that you have created us. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us. And as we prepare to celebrate his birth, we continue to work on ways to draw closer to him and ultimately closer to you. Father, we lift up all of our intentions, all of our family and friends. We pray for all those people who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for our country, for our world, for the souls in purgatory. We pray for the church. We pray for the sick. We pray for all those who don't know you, Father, who don't have a relationship with you, and who may not even know it's possible to have a relationship with you. Father, we pray that the last remaining days of Advent really bear good fruit in our lives. And I personally ask you to give me the words this day on the program so that I can deliver the message you would like me to deliver. And I ask finally, Father, that you open up all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear your message that you speak to us through these Mass readings and hopefully through my commentary as well. And allow your words to bear good fruit in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if I sounded a little tentative, I was stumbling over the words there because it was sticking in my throat a little bit when I said, hopefully, I'm speaking your message. You know, even though I pray, I can never be 100% sure that I'm speaking the Lord's message. But I believe that if I ask the Holy Spirit for help, and I really try to follow the prompting of the Spirit, and it happens to me during the show, when I'm doing this program, I'm getting ideas, I'm saying things that maybe I didn't plan on saying. I really believe that if I do that, and I'm open to the Spirit, and I ask for help, I'm confident that I am delivering his message. And I may mess up a time or two, but, you know, he's got a message for us today, and I really want to deliver the message that he has for us, and I pray that with his help, I'll be able to do that. I just want to make sure. Look, I could say a lot of things about Christmas. I could say a lot of things about Jesus, but I know the Father has a specific message that he wants me to deliver today. So I want you to know that I'm always praying to be able to do that, whether I'm speaking at my live talks, whether I'm writing, whether I'm speaking to you on the radio. I always ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit so I can deliver the right message at the right time. Okay? You with me? Very good. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is always a pleasure to be with you here. We've been doing this for a while now, and I'm grateful for all the many years that I've been able to come to you on the radio. I'm grateful for all of the podcast services that carry this podcast, as well as the radio stations that carry the show over the air. And I'm grateful for you, for your support, your prayers over the years. It means a lot to me. And just know that I pray for you every day as well. We're in this together. And right now, we are trying to really have a good Advent. And even though this is the final week of Advent, we still have time. And, you know, we'll talk more about this maybe next week when we do the Christmas or Christmas reflection. But, you know, our walk with the Lord, our desire to grow closer to Him, this shouldn't end once Christmas is over. I look at it as a beginning. Once we work on trying to align our will with the will of the Lord, which is what we're trying to do during Advent, once we do that, we want to continue down that road. And then we'll be heading into Lent, and then Easter, and then Ordinary Time. You know, this is what we want to try to continue to do. And our relationship with Him, if we do that, if we're constantly seeking to let Him work through us, the relationship with Him is going to grow. And that should be something we should be focusing on, working on for the remainder of our lives. And, you know, this Advent, next Advent, the Advent after that, if the Lord gives them to us, we should be continuing to grow. You know, it's not like we start over every Advent. The goal is to build upon the previous years. So with a little bit of effort, I firmly believe that that is possible. So that's what we're trying to do here. That's what I'm trying to do on the show. And I know that's what you're trying to do by joining me. Followingthetruth.com is my website. If you'd like to visit and find out more about my work, I would love to have you there. You can find out about my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which is free of charge. You can do that while you're at the website. And also you can find out how to bring me to your parish or your conference to be a speaker. And believe it or not, 2026, Lent of 2026, I have openings for Give Up Worry for Lent. This is an unusual year because I've been consolidating my three-day parish missions into one-day events. Therefore, I have more openings. So I can absolutely fit your parish in. Let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address if you want to try to set something up. If you want to talk to your pastor, if you are a pastor, if you're director of religious education or faith formation coordinator, whatever you may be, if you want to bring me in to speak at your parish, I would love to do it. Just go to followingthetruth.com or email me directly at Gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, enough about that. Let's do it now. We're going to do with the gospel first, as I always do on the show. We'll let the gospel lead the way. And then, of course, we'll back up and let the other readings support the gospel. The gospel for the fourth Sunday of Advent comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. We're going to be reflecting on the birth of Jesus and the fact that the Word became flesh. God is with us. God is with us in a way that for thousands of years, people could not have imagined that He would become one of us. I mean, that really is incredible. You and I, we could easily take it for granted. The fact that we're familiar with Jesus, we know that He came into the world. We understand some of the things He said and did. But remember, when He first came, this was mind-blowing for so many people. Let's look at the reading now, Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Matthew writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. Now, there are so many things we can discuss in this gospel passage. Let's break it down a little bit, talk about it, and I'm going to share some of my thoughts. When Mary was betrothed to Joseph, this was not simply an engagement. It was a formal commitment. It was as if the marriage had already taken place, except they weren't living together. So this was a commitment that, in order to be broken, a relationship in order to be broken, they would have had to have had a divorce, right, which is the separation. So they were basically married. They weren't just engaged. But as I said, they weren't living together. Now, when Mary was found with child through the Holy Spirit, we know that story, right? Joseph, since he was a righteous man, and we don't know a lot about Joseph, but that's a very powerful statement. He was a righteous man. He was a good man. And he was unwilling to expose Mary to shame. He decided to divorce her quietly. Now, look, we don't know all the details. We may not fully understand this. There are different ideas. Some of the church fathers even differ upon this. Some say Joseph thought he wasn't worthy. Some thought obviously Joseph was confused. He knew something might have been going on. He didn't understand what it was. He thought it was better thinking of Mary before thinking of himself. Let me put an end to this so that Mary isn't criticized or stoned because of an adulterous relationship or something like that. You know, so we don't know exactly what Joseph was, what his motivation was. But this was an acceptable practice, divorce her quietly. That was his plan. But we're told he was a righteous man, so he wasn't doing this for selfish reasons. He was doing this to protect Mary because he loved her. This was his intention. Now, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this, you know, we see this happen so many times. We see it in Scripture. We saw it with the Blessed Mother, where Mary was told, even though she had, according to, again, many of the early church fathers, believed that Mary had consecrated herself as a virgin. So she had expected to remain a virgin, even though she was in this arrangement, this betrothal, this marriage, this engagement, whatever you want to call it, with Joseph. She had determined, in their opinion, to remain a virgin. She was confused when the angel told her that, no, you are going to bear a child and he's going to be the Son of God. So many times in Scripture, and you've probably seen it in your lives as well, that we have plans. We decide things are going to go a certain way, and generally circumstances change that. I mean, you don't typically get a visit from an angel like Joseph and Mary did. But circumstances, maybe the words of someone, maybe a strong feeling in your heart, change your plans because you feel that God wants you to do something else. Well, Joseph, in his righteousness, decided that the best thing to do for Mary is to protect her by divorcing her. But the angel had, God had different ideas, so he sent the angel, and the angel told Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife into your home and into your home. For this has happened by the Holy Spirit." Remember, Joseph wasn't aware. He didn't have the visit from Gabriel that Mary did. So he didn't know the details. But the angel said, this is how it happened. It's the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, name him Jesus. He will save the people from their sins. In other words, Joseph is being told that his foster child, his foster son, Jesus, will be the Messiah. And then the angel goes on to say that this will take place to fulfill. Actually, Matthew is writing this. This takes place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, which we're going to hear in the first reading. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall name him Emmanuel. Now, Joseph, if he knew his scriptures, and in all likelihood he did, He's starting to put two and two together and realize, well, this is the way the plan is supposed to unfold. And when he awoke, and this is the beautiful thing about Joseph, you know, we could couple with this with the idea, Matthew's revelation that Joseph was a righteous man. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife into his home. In other words, he went along with the plan, even though you can imagine the mystery involved in this, the incredulous nature of what he was being asked to believe. I mean, this is some deep stuff. But Joseph trusted in God's plan enough to go along with it. And I honestly think that speaks volumes about who Joseph was and how strong his faith was. But we see this idea that the Messiah is about to enter the world. And Joseph, even though we have no recorded words of his in Scripture, he plays a very background role, or behind-the-scenes role, I think is a better way to say it. He's very important when it comes to this whole playing out of the entry of Jesus into the world. Joseph cooperated with the plan, obviously, as did Mary. When we go into the first reading, we're going to see that tie-in between the first reading and the gospel. The first reading is Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." And we see that link between this first reading and the gospel. This is the prophecy. The Lord speaking to King Ahaz, saying that the Lord is going to give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. This is the foreshadowing or the announcement of what will be happening at some point in the future. And that is playing out in the gospel. Emmanuel will be born of the virgin. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 24, and again, remember, we're 1 week removed. Next, in a few days, it'll be Christmas, less than 1 week removed on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Psalm 24 is the responsorial psalm. Let the Lord enter. He is the King of glory. Let the Lord enter the world. Let the Lord enter into your heart. That's what we're going to be doing in a few days. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. Let the Lord enter. He is the King of glory. The fact that this psalm states, let the Lord enter, implies that there's something we need to do. Let the Lord enter. It is not automatic. And then this psalm goes on to say, and this is perfect for us as we live out the final days of the Advent season and get prepared for the entry of the Lord. The Lord is going to arrive, but we have to do something to allow him to enter into our lives, to enter in a greater way. You know, you might have a great relationship with the Lord, but now we're invited to let that relationship grow even better. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? In other words, who is ready to receive the Lord? Who is able to receive the Lord? One whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain. This is what we've been working on during Advent. We're looking to clean up a little bit, to make some room for Jesus, because he can't enter if we don't give him room. And that's what we're trying to do. And don't get overwhelmed by the fact you only have a few days. That's enough. If you start today, you know, hopefully you've been doing something during Advent, but don't get upset if you may have not made the progress that you would like to make. I think a lot of Advent, and this is what I'm going through right now, much of the message of Advent, much of the fruitfulness of Advent has to do with giving up control, choosing to align your will with God's will. And if you're not making the progress that you're making through no fault of your own, now I'm assuming you're doing some sort of work, you're doing some sort of preparation. If that's the case, and you don't feel you're where you should be, maybe what the Lord's trying to teach you is give up control. Surrender to me. I know that's what I'm going through, and I found myself, I'm doing the work. But what I'm running into is a lot of unavoidable interruptions, serious things that I really have to attend to, including trying to read my daily Advent readings and struggling to really, I want to say appreciate, not so much retain, but appreciate the full depth of the message. You know, I feel myself reading and thinking, I'm not really grasping this, but I'm trying, you know. And you can't force yourself to feel a certain way. You can't force yourself to bear greater fruit. You can't force yourself to have stronger faith. What you can do is try and depend upon the grace of the Lord. So in my case, and this might be your situation too, if you've been trying and you're not making the progress you want, leave it up to Him. You know, recognize that all of our spiritual growth comes through the Holy Spirit. It's not because of us. Yeah, we have to do the work. But ultimately, the Lord gives us the grace that we need. Now, if you don't feel you're making the progress you should, maybe you're trying to control things too much. And that's what I'm learning during this Advent season, that I have to be willing to align my will with His. Your will be done, Lord. And if I'm not making the progress I want, that's up to You, Lord. Lead me where I need to be. That's a valuable lesson to learn. Might not be the lesson you wanted to learn. You know, maybe you'll go through Advent, and this has happened to me in the past as well, finding that you need your relationship with Jesus isn't what it should be. I went through an entire Advent one time, and that was what I came up with at the end. Boy, I wish I knew Jesus better. That's incredible fruit. You know, so don't be hard on yourself. Let the Lord lead you down the path that He wants you to travel during Advent. And that goes for these final days as well. All right, let's look at the second reading, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. St. Paul writes this, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop it right there before I continue. Paul, you know what a slave does? You know, that's a word that's not especially popular. It's frowned upon. But a slave is completely obedient to his master. A slave of Jesus. In other words, Paul does everything that Jesus asks him to do. A slave. You lead, Lord, I will follow. Again, don't be put off by the word, but focus on the power of that statement. Your will be done. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Remember the Blessed Mother said that? Joseph, in his dream, decided to go along with God's plan, even though he didn't fully understand it. That's what Paul's doing here, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name, among all the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of wording in there. You know, Paul can be very verbose at times. But what really strikes me here is the fact that he knew he was called to be an apostle. And in a sense, we are all called to be apostles, sharers of the good news, disciples. By virtue of our baptism, we are called to the same thing, to share Jesus with others and to follow him. And Paul recognizes ultimately, it's the Lord's will that he's going to follow. It's not his will. And that's that whole slave and master thing. Jesus is the boss. He's our king. He's our Lord. Are we willing to follow him? Are we willing to say, Lord, your will be done, even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense to me? That's what Paul did. That's what Joseph did. That's what Mary did. And that's essentially what faith is. It's trust. It's choosing to trust the word of someone else. And in this case, we're trusting in the word of Jesus. And honestly, that's what we're trying to do during the Advent season. We're trying to more fully surrender to the Lord's will, to follow him and not our own desires, right? That's what we're trying to do. And that's what we've been trying to work on during the Advent season. So I'll ask you to continue that for the next couple of days. And I think one of the simplest and most effective things you can do, and I'm going to try this as well, is go along with whatever happens to you. Now, obviously, if it's something you can change, it's totally fine to change it. If you're running into some bad luck, or you know, you run into a tough stretch and there's something you can do about it, well, we'll do it. You know, your heater breaks, it's okay to call the heating repairman or something. But if there's something, maybe you're not feeling well, maybe you're a little lonely, maybe there's something you can't control, maybe somebody said something nasty to you, maybe you're struggling financially, and again, something that you can't control, you can choose to accept that, saying, Lord, you're all powerful. You may not be willing this directly, but you are certainly allowing this to happen. So if you're allowing it to happen, Lord, I know that you are doing this for my benefit, and somehow this can help me or possibly help someone else. Therefore, my will is your will. If you want it, Lord, that's good enough for me. And by doing that, by making that decision, by aligning your will with the Lord's will, what a great thing to do for the remainder of Advent. Because ultimately, that's what we're all trying to do. I got to run now. I can't believe the show's just about over. And I will be back with you next week